Well, another high-quality production from Rylan Russell. I'm kidding. It's the only video Rylan and I could find. I'm just kidding. But it's... I did say the only one we could find. I know. We could be like, and the gospel according to the Lord. Amen. God bless us all. Tiny Tim. All right. So, I'm so sorry. I'm wound up. I had two cups of coffee, so I apologize. And a five-hour energy. All right. So, anyway... You have this little piece of paper. You have it. Wave it at me. Let me know that you got it. Y'all are excluded because I know you all. All right. So this is a taste of what I have been doing for the past year in a couple of months. It is a case study. Because I'm in chaplaincy school, we have to do case studies on certain visits. Now, he's going to kill me for this, but Dino, wave at everybody. Dino, wave. Wave. Yeah, there's Chaplain Dino. Give Chaplain Dino a hand. He's so insecure. He needs love and acceptance. I told you I was going to get you. This is my longtime friend and buddy, and God reconnected us together. And he has been through this, so you probably just triggered, didn't you, when you saw this. This is a case study. What we do in chaplaincy school, CPE, clinical pastoral education, is when we have visits that have grabbed us or tormented us, we do a case study. So I thought, you know what? I want to do a case study for Central Baptist Church, let you in our world. Here's the difference. I know you're going to be shocked. Troy, you're going to be shocked. I am not Jesus. But I am going to do a case study on the fabulous, wonderful video you saw, and I'm going to do a case study on this story, case study on Jesus. This is my case study. This will be my reflection, but you have this in front of you, and we're going to just walk through this case study, and then I'm going to do my reflection on what I saw, what I felt, my emotions, my thoughts about this particular story in the life of Jesus. Now, I did this for the first service. Wow. So it was hard for them. They struggled, but you guys, you're more hip, you're more cool, right? Not Doug Glenn. So we're going to walk through this case study. I am so thankful that I have my little desk mate. She is Joanne. I call her my little Catholic chaplain. She gave this for a devotion, not the case study, but this story. And I picked out 12 things about this. Don't worry, you're not getting 12. If you're lucky, you'll get 3. So I'm going to talk about my reflections on this case study. The good news is case studies take, and Dino's here to verify, about an hour and a half, 2 hours. So we ordered pizza for everyone, and we're going to be here for a long time today. Listen, if you don't laugh, I'm going to go 2.5 hours, okay? So it's not going to be that long, okay? So relax, chill out. This is my case study reflection on this story. Rev Kevs, Chaplain Kevin Loffer. Some of the men in here call me worse. I will not share. We're in the house of God. This is my reflection, my case study. At the end, I will share something with you that I would like you to do. So here we go. Grab your little paper. We're going to walk through this. The verbatim will be on the screen. The verbatim is exactly what happened in the story. Of course, this is Mark's interpretation, but it is what happened. So Central Baptist Church, that is the institution or organization that this case study is being presented to. The trainee, I put members, but really it is Kevin Loffer. Case study title, as Rylan said, WDJD, What Did Jesus Do? Case study of Jesus. Date of the visit, AD 28 or 29. There's some discrepancy on that. Introduction and observation. This is basically what it says. It's an introduction and just some observations about this before we get into the verbatim. It is only the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Already Jesus has performed some miracles, dealing with crowds who are clamoring for more miracles, and dealing with his poor disciples who really don't understand his ministry and probably didn't really till after death, and even then they didn't know. This is the shortest of the four Gospels, fastest paced, and the one that is characterized by the word immediately. So, it says we, but it's I, Kevin, am going to replay this story in slow motion to appreciate its significance. Now, just a few verses ago, Simon and Andrew left their nets to follow Jesus, and James and John left their father. That's in verses 16 and 20. However, either they have yet to leave Capernaum, or they've returned home after a short absence. In other words, they are still at home. This story takes place at the home of Simon and Andrew. Here's a freebie. I want to explain something because this will set the tone also. So first service, I knew I was doing something different. I knew this was going to be a stretch. Not so much for you all, but really it was a stretch for the first service, especially when I'm getting looks like this or this. Ladies, you're going to see in a minute. Ladies, we're going, and you'll see why in a minute. Hold on. So I was a little upset, a little nervous, going, oh my gosh, this may be the very last time I ever speak in front of Central. Not upset with that. Matt and I are sitting on the front row. Rylan's fixing to start the praise and worship, and what triggered just this was the word Andrew. I don't see, is Andrew Stevens here? Andrew, are you in here? He comes sometimes for worship. Andrew came down, Matt, you know what I'm fixing to say, and sat down between Matt and I. He put his hands, his arms around Matt and I. Andrew Stevens, our Down syndrome young man. I put my arm around him, and I wept. And it reminded me of what I'm fixing to share with you in the next few moments. So before second service, I found Andrew. He gave me another hug. And I said, Andrew, thank you for being Jesus to me today. I needed that. In saying that, let's go into our verbatim. You have the paper in front of you. It's also going to be on the screen. I know you'll be shocked, but I kind of got my notes messed up, so I'm going to have to go back and forth between the two. You'll notice a letter and a number. That is so we can go back and look at a couple of things when I get to the reflection part. And Dina will tell you this is exactly how we do case studies, isn't it? Are you okay? Because this triggers me when I go through it every time. So case studies, basically, you give your verbatim, you give your reflection, and am I right? And the rest of the chaplains just pile on you and destroy you. Why'd you say that? Why'd you say this? Why didn't you say that? Why did you say this? And then after it's over, the chaplain who gave the case study goes in the restroom and throws up. That's basically CPE. You want to join? J1, that's Jesus. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. And now we're going to show you a little note that says discipleship in its truest form, natural. I'm not going to cover all the 12 things I learned, so the ones I'm not going to talk about in my reflection, I'll give you snarky answers, okay? Here's the snarky answer, which you all are used to from me. I do not think Jesus had a discipleship 101, 201, 301. I do not think, Matt, this is for you, he had a John MacArthur study Bible. I don't know. Again, this is the humor part. You all are like, oh my gosh, why is he so mean? I don't think he had the Joel Osteen study Bible, which makes you open it up and it's a pair of teeth, just smiling. I don't think he had a Kevin Lauffer study Bible, which would have been a comic book edition. Amen? I don't think he had a plan of, here's how we do discipleship. It's going to be in 13 weeks. You'll get a certificate suitable for framing. Then you find five more. Jesus's was natural. He had his boys with him. They went over to a couple of more guys' house. By the way, perfect Sunday visitation. This is why I love Jesus. After they left the synagogue, James and John, they went over to Simon and Andrew's home. It's discipleship in its truest form. It's natural. As you go, as you walk, take some with you, go to someone's home and just go, hey, we're here. Just a thought. D2, that's discipleship. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. I told the first service I was in so much trouble because not only am my mother's in this service, but my mother-in-law was in the first service. I could do nothing right in first service. I had mom and mother-in-law. I was in trouble. Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. You know why? Because the boys and the others had been with Jesus. They saw already he could do water into wine. He could do things that nobody else could do. So they showed up, and Simon goes, wow, what perfect timing, Jesus. I actually kind of like my mother-in-law, and she's kind of sick because I knew the master could heal. Moving on, J3. So I love this. So Jesus, he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, helped her sit up. This also is Chaplaincy 101. Read the room. Know what's going on. When you walk into a hospital room, when you walk into a waiting room, look around. Read the room. And go. Take a hand. Sit. Be silent. I was joking with the first service that a lot of these case studies are me, Kevin, going, okay, what do I need to glean from this? The first several reflections and case studies were, Kevin needs to, you ready? I know you're going to be so shocked. Shut his mouth. Charlotte, I hear you laughing more than anyone. You just shut your mouth, woman. Then take someone's hand and just look at them. I'm here. Someone at the first church said they had that same thing. And by the way, they're like me. When we're together, no one could ever say anything in between us. And they said, I learned to hold that hand and just sit. So Jesus held the hand, he sat, and then he helped her sit up. The beauty of this is true compassion. But then immediately look, MNL4, mother-in-law, then the fever left her. Healing by the Messiah. Then the fever left her. Now again, we have the verbatim. We have what actually was said from Mark. So I know we can say, well, we could read a lot into it. Let's just go with the verbatim, okay? Can we? Let me help you up. Then the fever left. We don't know. We weren't there. And a lot of times we've talked about this in our chaplaincy reflections and case studies. Someone will say something. We'll say, no, wait a minute. You were not there. I was. We weren't there. But in this writing and a couple other translations, there's no mention of Jesus saying, be healed. Now, he did. We know. My dad told me years and years ago, look at how Jesus healed. It's different every single time. In this case, what we can glean from the verbatim is this. My fever's gone. Now, my Jesus is probably a little different than your Jesus. My Jesus is way cool. And I think when she went, my fever's gone, he went, yeah. Wow. Now, the next one we're going to talk more about, so I'm just going to go over this casually. And she prepared a meal for them, and I wrote, funny. Ladies, that's for you. And we will break that down in just a minute. J5, that evening after sunset, many sick, demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The word got out. Did you hear about Simon's mother-in-law? What? Man, that Jesus dude that those guys have been following. He set her up and she's healed. Man, my cousin's got a demon. Let's go. I've been tearing up my house. The word got out because something miraculous happened. And everyone who had sick family members, sick friends, sick neighbors, everyone who had something that they could not explain, they said, they got a demon. I used to think that about my toddlers. Okay, let's go. Word got out. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. Why? Because people want to see authenticity. They want to see real. They want to see the miraculous. They want to see, okay, one of two things. Oh, yeah, this guy, he's a fraud. Let's go find out. Or what if it's real? What if this guy can really do these things? What if? Interesting. Then we see Jesus, J6, healed many people. Oh, excuse me, T6. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. J6, this is where I messed up my notes. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. And let me explain this. I looked at about 7 or 8 translations. 7 or 8. I mean, some really wacky ones to some really authentic, deep translations that are literally deeply rooted in a deep word-for-word translations. I looked at commentaries. I've told you all this before. For me, it's fun. Some of you are going, you're really weird. I looked at the incredibly liberal, what we label liberal, to what we label fundamentalist conservative. Out of the commentaries, all but one said this. Out of the translations, all but two said this. You ready? They all brought all the possessed, all the sick, but he healed many, not all. I'm just going to see if anybody's going to throw anything. May I remind you that when Jesus, the Galilean, went home in that 3-year span of ministry, when the word was out that this cat can do something amazing, when he went home, what happened? Yeah, all y'all going, oh, he didn't do, very little. Very little. He could do very little. Because a prophet is not without honor except in his own, say it loud, hometown. But wait a minute, Kevin, he's God. He's the Son of God. Do whatever. There, Ryland. Ryland, that's the voice we should have used in the video. Not everyone gets the healing. Not everyone gets delivered. This verse makes perfect sense, and the translations make perfect sense. He couldn't do everything. Jesus paid it all, but he couldn't do it all. Woo! We're not going to talk about that a lot, but let me just put it this way. Sometimes we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, I just need healing. But inside we're like, but I like this one. You know, I need healing of my negativity. But inside we're like, don't, no, but that person, that, Now, I'm speaking for myself because this is my case study, amen? Wink, 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 wink. Let's move on. Oh, I like this one. J7. But because the demons knew who Jesus was, he did not allow them to speak. Authority. As Jesus is doing his thing, the demon's like, hey, nah, man, this ain't your time. I am Jesus. Shut your mouth. Get out. You know, pigs, things like that. Ain't that funny? Oh, there's some pigs. Yeah, you can go somewhere. Authority. Authority. He had all authority. Oh, by the way, he still does. Amen? Some of y'all don't know. Yeah, you will someday. J8, Jesus preaches in Galilee. Here we go. This is going to set a tone in my case study. J10, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up, went out, isolated place to pray. Okay, I'm just going to touch this briefly. Jesus believed in self-care. You like that? Because you know where this is going. Jesus was depleted, worn out. They had taken it all out of him. So he got up really early and went away to pray. Now, this is sometimes where we ministers tell you, that's why you got to have quiet time. Got to have quiet time. 4-hour quiet time. Man, I can't even watch TV for 4 hours. Okay, I lied. But anyway, my point is, it's not just about a rote quiet time. It's not about a ritualistic quiet time. Jesus went to the Father, his Father, which we're going to talk about in detail, because he needed self-care. You're looking at the guy who every single unit, every single paper, my supervisors, I can't even lie, we got one of my compadres there say to me, you don't do self-care, Kevin. So this is my reflection. This is my case study. Jesus believed in self-care because he's always pulling away to be alone with his father. Self-care. Hope you all taking notes, because you're going to find out later you're going to need them. All right, so moving along. D11, this is disciples 11. Simon and the others went out to find him, and when they found him, they said, "Everybody's looking for you." Duh. Man, that's self-explanatory. There's your verbatim. Everybody's looking for you. Are you Jesus? Because they knew what he could do. They knew they needed him. And they're all now going to the disciples. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where are you, Jesus? That's simple enough. J12, but Jesus replied, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." His purpose is to proclaim the Father, but he also knew, look, we got to go. We got to get going. We got to get out of here. Hang on to that. Then we move on. J12. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues, casting out demons. What happens next? Immediately he heals a leper. I'm sorry, I left out J12, and that's important. But Jesus replied, that's what happens when we have two sets of notes, folks. Don't be like Kevin. "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." His purpose, proclaiming the Father, doing the work of the Lord. Going back to after this, he immediately goes and heals a leper. He's doing the work of the Father, preaching, casting out demons. Okay, there's the verbatim. So now I've got 20 minutes to tell you my reflection. If you notice, it's blank there where it says summary, evaluation of care, recommendation. Number 4, spiritual emotional needs. Number 5, theological reflection. Number 6, cultural. Everybody do this. Take a breath. Summary. What is the totality for Kevin, for Rev Kev, for Chaplain Kevin? What is my summary of this life of Jesus moment? Here it is. For me, I look at this and I think this. I am 54, right, honey, right? Okay, I had asked Darla, I couldn't remember. I am 54. From 54 to my expiration date on the milk carton, that means when I die, okay, we make clear, which could be 55 the way it's going. From 54 to my expiration date, this is my summary for this visit. And I'm going to tell you that Andrew Stevens nailed it home today. I truly, with everything in me, want to be like Christ. Now, I know you're all thinking, oh, that's a cliche. No, it's not, and I'm going to tell you why I want to be like him. I told first service, and they went, what? But I'm going to tell you all, because I think you'll get it, because he truly was the coolest cat to walk on the face of the earth. This is what I got in first service. What? So I cleaned it up a little bit. He was the most awesome man to step foot on this rock, because it says he emptied himself of the Godhead and became man. So I can say with all confidence, the coolest cat to do this on this planet. That's my summary. That's my totality of this. I want to be that. And I told Andrew he was that to me right before I stepped up here first service. That's my summary. So what does that mean? That means let's go into the evaluation of care. Many aspects of Jesus' life comes together in this short, very early part of his ministry, comes together in this verbatim that set into motion his next few years. But can I tell you this? It's still set into motion into this guy that really, truly, listen to me, that began in 1965, came together in 79 when I went, "If you want me, here I am." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm the one that called you." And is still evolving and changing to 2020. That fine-tuned a year and what? A year and a couple of months ago in something called CPE, where I saw people differently. And I started, actually 6 years ago, I started reading these stories. A friend of mine said, "Read the red, brother." And I'm like, now I'm getting it. And I'm looking at this guy and doing case studies. I didn't know it was case studies 8 years ago. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh my goodness, and it's changing me. He went to the home of Simon and Andrew. By the way, you do know this was the Sabbath, right? Do you remember I said they left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon and Andrew? And then there was this mother-in-law. This mother-in-law. The Sabbath demanded it be a day of rest. Do you understand the restrictions of the Sabbath say? Sit in your lazy boy, Netflix binge all day, don't move, sit there. I mean, for some of you, you're like, oh, that sounds good. Can we go back to Sabbath law? Right? I can guarantee there's a whole bunch of staff in here that are going, preach, preach. It dictated, have a quiet day. Let me ask you a question. Was it a quiet day for Jesus? Was it? Did it look like a quiet night? And then Jesus, after his self-care, where have you been? Everyone's looking for you. Does that sound like a quiet, restful, top of the morning to you, Jesus? How was your night? Everyone's looking for you. It's like a mother with a baby and a toddler, my daughter Hannah. The texts we get, that's what the texts are. Simon's sick mother-in-law started a chain reaction of a circus of infected, contagious, spiritually, mentally, emotionally ill humans. And Jesus was doing what he does, curing. Healing, taking a hand. Why? Because he's the coolest cat that set face on the earth. Because that's what he does. Spiritually and emotional needs. Wow. M&L4, that mother-in-law. Here's what we know. He healed her. So, very briefly, I'm going to walk through what historically we as ministers have done. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just going to throw it out there. Yes, she was healed immediately. No explanation needed. But why didn't Simon offer to do a little care? Why didn't he offer to be the hospitable one while she rested? I'm just throwing it out there. Now, before the men tune me out and before the women start doing this, stop. Let me finish what I'm proposing. The word for serve here is diakoneo. Diakoneo. Everybody say diakoneo. You need to remember that. Now, most likely it is from the food service word, but it literally means wait on. And I've heard people say that. I looked at these commentaries again, and pretty much everybody agrees, but that doesn't really help. Yes, she served the men, but maybe that service was a sign of high respect and gratitude toward her healer. Well, I can live with that. Maybe she was serving God in doing so. Jesus commends humble servitude, and he describes himself as a servant in Mark 10:45, and that word means diakoneo. Same word. Okay. Cool. Now, in this culture, it would have been shameful for a woman in a household to neglect a guest. That's another example, an explanation we've heard over the years. Cool with that? To feed Jesus would have honored him, but it would have also restored her dignity and honor. So she was free. Okay. Now, all these responses are true in and of themselves. And the mother-in-law's appropriate response is to serve. But let me ask you this, and then I'll move on for all you people that are like, get the hymnal, throw it at him. Appropriate to whom? Appropriate in whose eyes? Appropriate to the men there gathered or appropriate to Jesus? And I'm just going to throw it out there, and it was fun to pick on Leon afterward. By the way, he said, that was a great explanation, but I'll get to that in a minute. Could she have done something else to show honor to the Savior? Could she have done something else to restore her dignity and to also say thank you? Now, hang with me. This is my reflection. Get over it. I'm kidding. That was a joke. Okay, everybody relax. Somebody just went, been sucking a green lemon. It's okay. Lazarus got to sit in the lazy boy. Now, I know he was dead, so he was probably really tired. I'd be dead. I'd be tired too if I was dead and somebody brought me back. I mean, my legs probably wouldn't work. So I get that. I'm just pointing it out. He got to sit down, and everybody else got, you know, Mary and Martha had to do their thing. I get that. But I'm just saying. So I have these thoughts, and this is in my reflection. This is my reflection, not forced on anybody. Just wait. Let me read something to you in my philosophical philosophy mind. Mark 15, 33 through 41, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. Wait, the man said, let's see whether Elijah comes to take him down. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. And then the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two, top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, this man truly was the Son of God. Here we go. Are you ready? Some women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph. We know who that is. And Salome. They had been followers of Jesus and cared. Anyone want to guess that word care, where it comes from? Diakoneo. Say it. Diakoneo. Same exact word, but that here, had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. Allow Kevin, Rev Kev, Chaplain Kevin, to expand my imagination for a moment. This is not scripture. This is not canon. Let me do what I do best. It's a scary world in here, okay? Allow me to do what I do best. What if, just what if, Simon's mother-in-law was one of those people? What if she were one of those women? What if, come on, use this. What if? If she was, and it's a big if, but I'm cool with living in that world. It started with this. All right, I'm visual. It started with this. Melvin, by the way, I call her Melvin. It started with this. It started with that. It started. Coolest cat to ever walk the face of the earth. Let me tell you all that. Doesn't matter. All the stuff I wrote, my reflection doesn't matter. Who cares? Because I guarantee you there are two people that could care less what I wrote. Two people could care. Two people Go, I don't care what you wrote. Number one, Simon's mother-in-law could care less what I think. Could care less of 7 to 8 translations. Could care less about hundreds of theologians and philosophers. I'm not a theologian, I'm a philosopher. Could care less. Oh, by the way, there's someone else that could care less. Jesus. Jesus, do you think Jesus gives one thought to what I say or write? Somebody disagreed with me after first service, and you know what? I just went, oh, thank you for sharing. You know what he does care about? He could care less what I write, what I think. You know what he cares about? When I get sick. When my mind gets altered. When my heart breaks. When I'm nervous, you know how I know? He said, Andrew, give me a hug. That's when he cares. But again, that's just my case study. Oh, I have a whole bunch more. I'll just tell you my theological reflections for those of you taking notes. Just look up John 8, 28 and 29 and John 5, 19. You know what those are? It's where Jesus says, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. I do nothing unless the Father tells me. Do you know what that means? For God so loved. My reflection, Kevin. That he gave up Jesus, his only son. That if Kevin will believe, he'll not die. Oh, he'll die here, but he'll live with me for eternity. It is called redemption. And I will leave this place on that milk cart expiration date. I will leave here. I will go home. And I so want to hear from Jesus, from the Father, well done, Kevin. You made it. You did it. Come on, son. Got some stuff to show you. It's going to blow your mind. In my language, I think Jesus is going to say, come on, cat, it's a trip. Let's go. Culture implications, I want to close with this story. I want to be like Jesus, the coolest cat the world has ever known. I want to share this story for you, with you. Jesus was heading to the city of Nain right away. Some of you know what this is going to be. And he's got his peeps with him, his men and his women, for you, sis. And they're with him and they're traveling. And they're loud and they're all wanting a piece of Jesus and his financial guy's got the books. Y'all know who that was, right? Judas. He's got the books. By the way, I shared this in first service. You know that Jesus didn't fire Judas? Now, Jesus is God, right? So he knows everything. He knows what Jesus is going to do. In fact, the only thing he said to Judas was, go do what you got to do. Didn't fire him. That was a freebie. Judas got the planner. We have got to get to Nain. I had a sundial. See what time it is? Jesus walking along. Everybody's talking loud, and here comes a funeral procession. They paid for mourners back then. Y'all know that, right? Pretty sweet gig if you can get it. Everybody's, they don't even know the person. They're coming this way. Jesus and his posse's going this way. So both are loud, is the point I'm trying to make. Jesus sees what's going on. He knows. Now, we've always said, we know because he's Jesus. But also the Father goes, Go do that thing that you do. Go. Jesus, yeah. Thanks, Pops. I'm on it. Walks over there, and the widow and her only son has died. There's a whole lot we could talk about there. For time's sake, look it up on your own. Jesus walks over. Stop crying. One thing we learned in chaplaincy school is don't tell someone to stop crying. Don't hand them a tissue. When you hand someone a tissue, it means I can't handle your tears. I can't handle your pain. We can handle anybody's pain. Amen? But when Jesus says, hey, don't cry, different tone, different look. He's looking somebody in the eyes, and he's saying, don't cry. I'm here. I just got, ooh, I got chills. Then he does this. Here's the body. People are carrying it. He does this. He touches it. Oh, my goodness, Jesus, now you're ceremonially unclean. When is he going to follow one rule? You know that, right? Now he's ceremonially unclean. And he says, wake up. Guys, I'm looking at y'all. You don't get it. Come on, man. Get up. Wake up. If he can shut the demons up, talking to a wall. Get up. The dude jumps up and starts talking. Don't you want to know what he was saying? You know, don't you want to know what's going on? Maybe he's mean, just starts talking about nothing like I always do. The best line in that story. Y'all know what it is. Bible scholars, you know what it is. He gave the woman back her son. That's a cool cat. Amen. That's a cool cat. That is our Jesus. Oh, pardon me. It's my case study. That is my Jesus. So I have gone up on the wall. I'm done. Except I gave you something. Surprise! You have homework. That was mine. This is yours. It's blank. The Bereans went up to Paul and they said, well, we checked your sermon Sunday afternoon. They came back and said, you know, yeah, you did all right. You did all right. He said, blessed are you. Here's your case study. Now, you can do this story because I told you there was 12 things. I think I covered 2.5, maybe 3. Find the rest. Husbands and wives, get together and do your own case study. Red, so we're going to do a case study, but I'm not going to say a word. You're going to do it. My wife just went, oh, I don't even like you anymore. Here's your case study. Or how about this? Why don't you find another story? The widow at Nain. Why don't you do that one? Find a case study. Parents of teens, you got some teens in here. Here's one. You ready? Let them do the case study. All the teens in here say, we really hate you, Rev Kev. Quit letting us feed you, spoon feed you. That was my case study. I know some of y'all disagreed with it, so go ahead, do it. Email me. Tell me what you liked or didn't. Have a conversation. Do your own case study. Figuring 5% of you are going to do it anyway, so you 5% email me. Challenge thrown out. Challenge accepted. Something happened at the hospital last week. I cannot tell you because we can't. If you want to ask me individually, maybe. I left there. I met with my supervisor. And I told him, today, and I tell him this all the time, man, if I could do this, I could die. If I could be like Jesus, if I can do this, I could die. Don't worry, honey, I'm not going to do anything with, you know, the guns and all that. I sat down, looked Chaplain Bob in the eyes, and I said, today, this day, I could go home. I did it. Actually, I didn't. The patient did. I could do it. What say you? What say you? So, let's stand. Y'all like, no, no invitation? Yeah, here's your invitation. Stand up. Grab the hand of the person next to you. I know, Kira, you have to hold David's hand. I'm sorry. Let me speak blessing over you. If you need us, some of us will be back there in the connection room. Noah, that means you have to run clear across the other side. Let me pray a prayer blessing. Father God, thank you in the truest sense of the word that you sent Jesus for us. In spite of us so many times, and because of us. So the blessing, Lord, is this, that we can truly, truly become like Jesus. Knowing many times we will fail. My goodness, I failed, I think, Friday. And probably three times this morning. But knowing our goal is to live like Christ. So blessing on my brothers and my sisters in this room. Let us truly be like Christ. I pray that some will take this serious and do their own studies on who Christ really is, not what our dogma has taught. And I pray it in your name. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Hug somebody on the way out. Let them know you love them.